All right, we're in Mesilat Yesharim Seder Vikuach. We're into the next section, which is titled Chovat Ha'adam El Boro. What is man's obligation to his creator? Meaning, what is the purpose of life, basically? Just as background, this is a chapter that exists in basically every sefer of the Ramchal, at least all of his basic Sfarim. And that's because the Ramchal firmly believes, as he'll say here explicitly, but to recognize this is not restricted to the sefer, that there's no point in having a conversation about anything in life. It doesn't matter what the topic of the book is. There's no point in having a meaningful conversation about anything in life unless you know what the goal of life is. If you're not moving toward the goal, then you're really just treading water. You're not going anywhere at all. And so any meaningful conversation needs to start with a discussion of where am I going? In almost any or every organization, everybody feels like they came up with this on their own, but they didn't. It's just everybody saying the same thing except in business or law or education. They always say if you have the choices between point A and point B, you always start with point B, because only once you know the goal can you figure out how to get there. If you start by trying to figure out where you are, you're going to wander aimlessly because you don't know where you're going. And so no matter what topic in life we're talking about, Chovat Adam El Boro, or the purpose of man in life, is always the most essential piece to understand. That's the basics. That's the premise. Anecdotally, and we'll talk about this later on in other contexts also, but how do we refer to the Jewish people? B'nai Yisrael, or Am Yisrael, but the key word there is Yisrael, which is the name that God gives to Yaakov. If you could divide this into two words. Yashar. Yashar Kel. What is Yashar?
Straight,
direction, vector. The goal of a Jew in this world is to always be moving forward and always be going toward the target. That's very much in brief, but just a second to contemplate the fact that the Ramchal is relating to this essential point that we always need to know where we're going, no matter what we're doing in life or what the topic of conversation is. Cool? All right. With that premise, let's hear the Ramchal presented through the Chassid. Amar HaChassid. Hinei ha'ayun ha'mitzarech l'chassidut v'laprishutu. The investigation that needs to be done to really understand piety and precious separation, which for our purposes we'll just keep calling precious until we actually define it within the context of the Sefer. Who? Rishona. What's the first thing that needs to be done? Ladat. Mahi be'emet chovat adam baro. What's really man's obligation to his creator? What's his connection to his creator? Ma Hashem Elokeinu Shirel Me'imanu. He's quoting the pasuk that he quoted before, just changing the words a little bit to play on words there. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? That's the starting point. That's where we always need to begin from. What does God really want from us? Uvamet nitratze elav yitbarach. And how will God be appeased by us in terms of what we're doing? V'achar shenidazeh. Then, after we know what we need, what the goal is, what our obligation in this world is, v'achar shenidazeh, then we need to seek out the paths which will get us to that obligation, which is basically what we just drew on the board. Meaning, first we need to define what our obligation is, then we need to define the straight line that will get us there. But that journey can be fraught with issues. And to establish in our hearts these traits that are proper according to this intention, this directionality. Kavana means to focus. According to this focus and direction, to not just know what the path is, but to understand the nature of that path and internalize that path to make it a part of us. This path which, in the context of this Sefer, we're calling Midot, because we're talking about Mesilat Yesharim. The goal is always the same, but why we're getting to that goal can change depending on the nature of the book. The goal here is the midot that we're trying to learn. We want to know what they are, all of their aspects, and embed them in ourselves. But also, v'chin nishdeel lahakir mahin asibot sheyecholot lihiyot mon'im otano me'asot zot. We also need to know, we need to work to understand, to recognize what things can get in the way, can withhold us from being able to get to that goal. We need to know the journey, we need to understand the path and internalize it, and also know what roadblocks are standing in our way.
Or
that the things that will pull away these good midot from within us, and in fact instill in our hearts the opposite, negative midot that will pull us away from God and away from the goal. That's the paradigm for the Sefer. We're going to talk about the nature, the obligation of man in this world, and then he's going to do exactly what he said. After we understand what our purpose is here, then go midah by midah, understand what it is, in all its parts, internalizing it, and understanding what can keep us away from it, and how to avoid those things that will pull us away from those midot. It's all about that line, and the things that can get away of that, in the way of that line. That's the journey of the rest of the Sefer, in that paragraph. Okay? Is that clear? Questions? The path is clear? Okay. No, I meant that literally. I meant saying the path is clear that we're going on. It was not, it wasn't meant to be my own words. I'm not sure that I get the pun. Okay, whatever. So, it's been a long day. Amar HaChacham, Hinei Zeh Vadai Seder Iuni, Nachon Ad Me'od. This is definitely, says the Chacham, I agree totally that this is the proper way to go about this investigation. There's no way to argue this. Ukvar roeh ani, and I already see now. This is not going to be a short path. This is not going to be a short realm of investigation. Kasher chashavtiv mitchila, as I thought originally. And as many other people in this world often think, except for the pious people and except for the prushim. Everybody thinks it's easy, like the Chacham said earlier on. Be good, do mitzvot, don't do avirot, be an Oev Hashem, be a Yirei Hashem. Why are we talking about this, right? He's saying that's what many Chachamim, as I myself said earlier, think that this is not going to be a long journey at all, but I'm starting to get. This is going to be a journey. This is going to be a book. This is going to be a whole path to take us from one place to the next. It's going to be wide and deep. Like any other investigation in any other area of study. I now long to hear the details of these principles, and I will find joy in them. I will find happiness in them. Says the Chassid. Hine, hapina harishona, the first thing to start from, the starting point, the first step on this journey. V'hi ha'yisodit be'emet, and this is the most foundational, as we already prefaced, to anything in life. Hi achova asher al ha'adam u'ma Hashem shu'al me'imo. It's the obligation of man and what God asks of man. U'kemo shamarti kvar l'cha kvar, as I've mentioned before in the last paragraph. V'omnam, v'hit oreri al ha'pina hazot. When I've thought about, when I've investigated or gone into these areas of study, there are many different opinions about what man's purpose in this world is. And this comes from a lack of knowledge and a lack of learning. People come up with random reasons as to why they think the world exists. And he says there are some very funny reasons out there about why the world exists. Let's talk about some of those funny ideas. All right, first he's going to present some interesting positions as to why the world exists, and then tackle why those are not the reason that man exists. It's again, like this is what's fun about the dialogue version. There's a dialogue happening here. There's an investigation happening here. It's a process. He's not just presenting us with it. He's saying, let's first talk about what's possible and why that doesn't make any sense at all. Then we can talk about why the world really exists and why that fits everything else that we've said. Okay? So let's take a look at one of the potentially erroneous ways of looking at the reason for the world and its existence. There are those who think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for some sort of purpose, whatever it may be, which is not understandable by us. We can't really seek it out. We can't really understand it. God, for whatever reason that he created this world, when he created it with all of these wonderful things, with so many good creations, enjoyable creations, everything aligned and organized with tremendous thought and wonder. Kashir Uvadai, just like it was is the nature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, meaning as is proper for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to have created. Omnam, however, acharei kol zot, after this, hinei lo yadavar zeh shalim, imo hayasham mishi haneba hanot eila. God created this awesome world full of great pleasures. What a waste for there not to be a being to enjoy those pleasures. So thus, God created a being to take advantage of the world. God created the world for a purpose, but as long as it's also really awesome, let's let there be a creation that can enjoy the great goodness of the world. V'shiyuchal hitbonein, that can contemplate, ulehasig, and to grasp, etayofia v'achokhmash nimtzabahem, and the beauty and the intelligence that exists within that creation. Ki yofi she'enu nikar, because beauty that's not recognized, hareu kelo haya, it's like it doesn't even exist. He's saying people would claim, and this is a legitimate conversation in the context of art. Is art meaningful if nobody sees it? So he's saying, people claim, what's the meaning of art if nobody benefits from it? I created a beautiful, gorgeous world, a beautiful, enjoyable world. What meaning is there if there were nobody to enjoy the beauties and the enjoyments that I put into that world? Alkein bara Elokim Adam al ha'aretz. Therefore God created man on this earth, le'achol mipirya, lisva mitzva, to eat from its fruits, and to become sated from its goodness, ulehitbonen al brioteha hagdolot vatavot, and to contemplate all of its creations that are large and great. V'omnam lema'an asher yidah adam heyuto eved v'lo adon, but to make sure that this creation called man, which is put into the world to enjoy the benefits of the world, to make sure that he's at least clear on the fact that he's a servant of God and not the master of the world himself, to make sure that we keep man's ego in check, now that he's been created just basically to run around and enjoy the world. Nivra v'lo bore, that he's a created being and not a creator. V'gam l'man istader ha'adam hazeh v'mahasav v'chom alalav, and also that man should be organized in all of his actions and everything he does. V'lo yek chayat ha'aretz, that he shouldn't just be another wild animal running around on the face of the earth. V'lo yimashchulo nizakim gedolot mehashchatat sidero v'efseid chok medinuto, and that there shouldn't be any damages that come to him or any destructive forces that come to the world in the way that he organizes, in the way that from the destruction of any sense of order in the world and a loss of any basically political structure. There's no sense of social contract between man, then man's going to just run amok and end up damaging each other because there's no sense of cohesiveness amongst man in and of itself. So, samlo chukim mishpatim. Then suddenly we get Torah and mitzvos. Right? He gave him laws. Shebam yakir sheyish lo borega adon. It has two functions. That we recognize that there is a creator and a ruler of the world. Dehu ba'atzmo yodeh b'ma'asav uvidvarav al ha'emet hazeh. And he knows himself the actions and in their truth. And then he can also be wary of those things that would come to have him lose out on his ability to connect with other people in a positive way and destroy the social connections between man. So these laws create a reality of a recognition that there is a creator and also create a social contract. The world exists, we don't know, God's infinite, and I have no idea why God created the world. He had his own reasons, it's God, he can do whatever he wants. But it was really beautiful and awesome, so he needed me to be here to enjoy the goodness of the world, because what a waste to have all this goodness and have it not be enjoyed. But I need to recognize that there is a God, and that we actually interact with each other in a way that's not destructive. So God gives us Torah and Mitzvot. Sounds like a pretty solid package. Right?
Yeah.
Why not?
No, he's not. I thought that was the first one.
I'm just saying, this is an incredibly solid package.
Okay.
No?
Okay.
You're like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's at least a paradigm. And this is the first paradigm that he presents. V'nimsa, therefore, if we take all this as true, l'fi adat hazot, according to this opinion, according to this way of thinking, Ikar inyano shel ha'adam ulianot betuv ha'ulam v'lisbo mimeno kedei shelo tehi briyato levatala. Man's job in this world is to enjoy its goodness and to be sated from it in order that the creation shouldn't be a waste, it shouldn't be for nothing. V'amitzvot davar hechrechi elav ibnei tchunato. And the mitzvot are simply a necessary outcome of his goal. Kilivushim mipnei hatzina, like, meaning it's just a necessary outgrowth of the fact that he exists. He needs to know there's a creator, he needs a social contract, so God gave him laws. The same way we wear a coat because it's cold, they need a coat. Kimal bushim mipnei hatzina, like you have clothing because it gets cold. Vavatim mipnei hagishamim, and like houses because of the rain. It's a necessary outgrowth of the reality, meaning God is here just to enjoy, man is just here to enjoy the world, but because of all of these other things, we also need Torah and mitzvot. These are the mitzvot which are designed simply to organize our social society and our actions. However, this way of thinking, as Marissa said, didn't we say this was going to be wrong? Right? Even though we will find many pegs upon which to hang this theory that make it make sense, and many things that seem like they establish this as being truthful, this is nothing more than a mistake and a straying of the heart, hanifte achar ha'ta'ava, which brings a person after desire. Va'alehem ani korein, about these people I say, le'leitzim hu yalitz, that we mock those who are mockers. What's he saying here? What is basically this paradigm of the creation of the world give man? A hetzer to do whatever he wants, right? Why are we here? Physical pleasure in the physical world. It's an intellectualized rationalization of a hedonistic mentality. It's incredibly brilliant. God's infinite. God created a world for his infinite reasons. God needed me to be here. My purpose here, I'm fulfilling God's will by enjoying life's pleasures and enjoying in hedonistic actions. And all I have is these Torah mitzvot just to make sure to remember that it was God who put me here and that I don't actually cause issues by fighting with my friends and the people who I live in the same place as. It's a very powerful paradigm. It's just anti-Torah. And so the Ramchal, I'll take your hands in a second. The Ramchal then will now go on to, as he will, the Ramchal is very, it's through the Chassid, but the Ramchal is very careful in how he designs things. He will now debunk this perspective, both from a rational perspective, mitzad hasvara, and also from our sources. Ramchal is always source-based, because the only way we can know ultimate truth is from Judaism, but also because he was a really smart guy, why it totally doesn't make sense anyway. Questions first.
Wait, sorry. Just I understand, according to this way of thinking, why man is here, but why did Hashem create the world? Hashem created the world in order...
Right, so you have to bypass that, because if God created the world for any meaningful reason, then it can't just be about hedonistic pleasure. So the premise of this theory is, God's infinite, I can't know why he created the world. That's the heart and soul of the argument, is that we bypass God creating man for a reason, then yeah, go and do whatever you want.
Okay.
And in fact, that's even better. The reason is to go and do whatever you want.
Okay.
That's the chav. That's exactly where it has to start from.
Okay.
Regarding the quote from Michelin that he brought to kind of like back that up,
mm-hmm.
when he says leitzim, is he referring to them as scorning the Torah? Or the purpose of what the Torah was here for? Like, why is he calling them leitzim?
I assume he means that they mock the way that hedonists will mock the way that Prushim and Chasidim act in the world because they are distancing themselves from physical pleasure as being the primary source of reality. He's saying it's good to mock those who mock. Just a small anecdote, and then we'll call it a day for Mesilas Yesharim. I once heard it's a good 1 minute story. I was just getting married. So there's a concept of Shana Rishona. Shana Rishona means that in your first year of marriage, you're supposed to stay at home, and the husband and the wife should be in the house every single night, no matter what's going on, for a full year to actually create and develop that relationship. And a few people in the Beis Medrash one night when I was engaged said, "Oh yeah, I mean like for the first couple of months." I said, "What do you mean?" So they said, "For the first few months, you're supposed to do that, but then, yeah, I mean, like, come on, then you come back to the Beis Medrash and have night seder." And I was like, wow, like, I'm so not frum. I really thought you were supposed to stay home and, like, hang out with your wife and, like, do, like, play board games, hang out, schmooze, like, I don't know, like, whatever it is. But, like, just, like, hang out. And the idea is just to connect. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You should be in the house. And so when I went to visit Israel, I spoke to one of my rabbeim, and I said to him, I was like, wow, you know, like, I was thinking about Shana Rishona, and I heard them say this, and I was like, it was just like, it was so funny to me that, like, it seemed very funny to me, but I guess, you know, like, I didn't get it right. And he looked at me and said the following, which is just to paraphrase the Rabchal. He said, if something seems funny, it's kedai to laugh. That was his thought. Meaning, if something seems funny to you, mm-hmm. trust your gut. If something seems funny to you, just because the world is doing something a certain way, sometimes it's important to remember that those who are, like, say, like, Shana Rishona, please, come on, go back to the Beit Midrash. Even if it sounds right, when somebody's mocking something, take a second, take a step back, and think, is that really the way it's supposed to be? So we will mock the mockers. He's going to be really hard on them. With both sources and rationale on Tuesday.